Lord, you are worthy. Lord, you are worthy. Father, thank you for just start tonight. And Lord, you want everyone to know how great you are. And Father, thank you that you didn't choose angels. You didn't choose emails. You didn't choose faxes. You didn't choose miracles. You chose your children to share with others how great is our God, what he's done for us, and what he wants to do for them. Thank you, Father. Bless this evening, Lord. Let it be profitable in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, thank you. You may be seated. It is so good to have you here, to see you. Thank you. Man, I know when you work all day and trying to get here on time, that can be challenging. And I thank you so much. Did everybody get a section number 4 when you came in? Anybody did not get a 4? We'll put one in your hand. Got one up here on the front row. And just keep your hands up. Jeff's coming right down the aisle with them. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is so good again to see you. I thank you for being here. I believe we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening. If you've missed any of the sessions, let me just remind you what we did. We start out Sunday morning talking about how easy it is to lose focus and be prioritizing sharing Jesus with the busyness of life. And then Sunday night, we learned the simplest, easiest, most practical way to share what the gospel with others, and that is when we couch it in what God has done for us. When we tell about this great God and what he's done in our lives. And then last night, we talked about, for most of us, fear is a reality. I mean, when you start talking to sharing with people you've been going to school with, you've been living around a long time, family members, folks at work, it's real easy for us to be afraid. And we learned 7 Bible principles about how to defeat fear. I asked you yesterday, and I ask you today to go out and share your story with one person before tonight or before the next night. And I want to get just a few people to stand up real quick and not tell us your story, but tell us about sharing your story today, where you were and just how you started and how it went. Who'd like to do that real quick? Yes, sir. Tell us your name and then just tell us where you were and how you got started.
I'm Alan Curley. I think everybody knows me. I was going to share last night with Lester Gann. He knows I'm talking about him. And I talked with he and his wife both, but I'm going to see him Thursday night. But I shared my testimony with somebody at work today, which was a Christian.
Right, how'd you get into it?
I just told them how I was raised in a Christian family, and I was been in church since an infant.
But I mean, how did you start? Did you say, we got this thing at church?
Yeah,
did you do me a favor?
I did. It worked today. I did, yes. I said, this fellow wants me to tell my story, my testimony. Can I do it to you? And she said, yes.
Good. What happened when you got through?
She said, thank you, and I'll remember that.
Very good. Thank you very much for sharing that. Praise the Lord. Someone else, you shared today just where you were and how you got into it and how it went. Who'd like to share? Just tell us about, real quick, where you were, how it went. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Terry Washer, and I teach at Grace Christian Academy, and I teach 9th and 11th grade English. Today, I had the privilege of telling my story to 59 of our students, and I got into it by telling them that statistics show that there's at least one person in that classroom who doesn't know the Lord, who thinks they've made a profession, but they really haven't, and I wanted to share my story.
God, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got the middle section here. How about somebody? Okay, over here. Tell us your name. And
Jennifer. I was in the mall today, and I was going back to meet Robert in another store, and I saw a girl that I went to massage school with, and it just so happens that she lives in Maryville. So that was a pretty long way for her to come to the Westtown Mall, because that was the mall that I was at. And so I saw her, and I just started talking to her, and I got that, a little bit of that fear, because I knew that she remembered the person before. You know, I wasn't saved when I was in massage school, so I knew she remembered that person. So I did get that fear, because I thought, well, she'll never come to Grace because she lives in Maryville. Well, I remembered that we have this concert October the 29th, so I led into it with inviting her to this concert. And then I says, well, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I have to tell you that, you know, I invited Jesus in my heart. And so what I learned from this is that I've always just told people I got saved. Well, I actually said, I asked Jesus into my heart. He changed my life. And I just think that that was a divine appointment, because this girl lives in Maryville. You know, what are the chances that her and I would have met at the mall today? So it was just awesome. So
praise the Lord. I'm glad you didn't let that fear keep you from sharing. Somebody else just had a wonderful time sharing, and you're a little nervous, but you'd really like to do it. Good. Tell us just where you were and how you got into it.
Well, you said you couldn't do an email, but I couldn't meet up with this guy today that I've been wanting to talk with.
That's good.
But it's a young man that took over my business a year and a half ago, bought me out, and he'd worked for me several years. And he's become more like a son than an employee. So I emailed him today that he took over a 30-year established business. When Frieda and I started the agency business, there were a lot of very lean paydays. Many months we had to scrape to make ends meet. We finally got established and things started getting a little better. But things really started improving when we quit working on Sunday, got back in church regularly, and started tithing on our income. Your business is doing well, but it can be better.
Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing that. And when I said you can't email, I didn't mean you can't email, because you actually can. But God's method of getting the gospel to folks is through us, not through some impersonal email. That was a very personal email. Anybody else real quick before we go on? You shared someone today, your testimony with the gospel in it. Anybody else you'd like to just tell us where you were and how you got into it? Real quick. Okay, all right. Let's look at page 2 tonight as we continue with developing know-how, part 2. We learned one way already to do it. That's with our testimony. That's what we just had people report on. And we had some folks share. But I want to help you tonight on page 3 with honing your personal story. In other words, honing or sharpening. Because you see, if you're on a scheduled outreach visitation, that's wonderful, that's fine, and you can do this, and we need to visit prospects, visitors of the church, and so on. But we're thinking about at school. We're thinking about at work. We're thinking about when you may not have 30 minutes to share, and you've got a short period of time, and the better we have in our mind the details of our story, the easier it's going to be to come in at some various point of it. So notice on page 3, number 1, my life before I met Jesus. Now notice, you don't have a whole page to do it. Just go on through the PowerPoint there to page 3, the top of page 3, honing your personal story, my life before I met Jesus. You don't have a page, but you got 6 lines. So you can put in 6 sentences or 6 phrases, because sometimes you're only going to have a little bit. Now remember, you want to talk about where you grew up, a little bit about your life. You know, I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. I grew up going to church all the time. But from my earliest childhood, I struggled with insecurity and inferiority. I was skinny as a rail. I wore glasses at a young age, so people made fun of me being skinny and called me 4 eyes. And so I tried to compensate by acting out and overachieving. I went to church. I heard the story that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for my sins, and he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And I knew it in my head, and I had made statements like, I'm a Christian, or I want to be a Christian, many times as a teenager in my church. But I didn't have Jesus Christ in my life, and I knew he wasn't in there. And when I graduated from high school, I just went on kind of my life. And going my life my way resulted in a whole lot of problems. I got married young. I had a great job. I had a beautiful wife. I had a wonderful family. But my life was a wreck on the inside. On the outside, I looked really good. But inside, I had no peace. I suffered with lack of contentment. I still suffered with insecurity. I got very depressed, almost suicidal at times. Before Jesus Christ, on the outside, everything looked good. On the inside, it wasn't very good. Now, I actually squeezed most of those points into those six lines. So notice there on page 3, and you only got a couple of minutes. So I want you, please don't go on to number 2 or number 3, but just right there, let's take the next couple of minutes and write, fill out these six lines, my life before I met Jesus. Even if you're not quite through, I want you to notice number 2, how I came to accept Jesus into my life. Now remember, everybody's story of accepting Jesus is different. You know, with me, I truly in my late 20s and early 30s became an agnostic. I began to question, do I believe all this stuff about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and all these things, you know, because my parents taught me or because it's true? And so I began to pray, God, if you're real, I want to know it. And God showed me he was real. After he did, I knew what was missing in my life was Jesus. But then I didn't want to trust him because I was weak. I had all these habits, partying, drinking, smoking, cussing. And I thought, man, if I become a Christian, I know I'm not supposed to do those. And I'm so weak, I can't even quit smoking. How am I going to quit those? And one day, reading a magazine article, waiting on a sales appointment, in R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, God's Spirit so convicted me that if he could forgive me of my sins, he could give me the power to live the Christian life. So I got in my car and I'm riding down I-40 in Winston-Salem, between Winston-Salem and Greensboro, and I'm driving and I'm crying and I'm smoking and I'm praying. I'm saying, oh God, Lord, I'm a sinner. There's no doubt about it. And I do believe Jesus died for me and rose again. And right now I say, Jesus, come into my life. And in the next breath, I said, Jesus, just like I'm going to trust you to come into my life and give me eternal life, I'm going to trust you to give me the power to live the Christian life. And that Wednesday afternoon, riding down I-40, God did that in my life. So now your story is going to be totally different. Maybe you were 7. Maybe you don't even remember all the clear details of it. So you got to say, it was only later that I really fully understood. But you want to be sure that you always put the gospel in how you got saved. And remember what the gospel is? Let's read it together on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4. Let's read it together on the screen. 1 Corinthians 1, 15, 3, and 4. Well, let me tell you what it says. It says, Paul wrote to Corinthians, he says, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, you don't have to say, quote Scripture. You don't have to say, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4. You don't have to say that, but you do want to talk about death, burial, and resurrection. And sometime, if I'm writing out my testimony, I'll just put DBR, because I know I'm going to talk about death, burial, and resurrection. And then we were reminded last night, why do I not just want to talk about what happened in my life? I do want to talk about that. That's how I deliver it. But what is it? Why is it so crucial to give the gospel? Well, read with me Romans 1:16. Let's read it together, okay? Let's read Romans 1:16 together. Here we go. Let's read it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. See, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Was it Jennifer? It's wonderful what God's done in your life. But telling folks what God's done in your life, it's wonderful what God's done in my life. But telling folks what God's done in my life doesn't have power unless I deliver the gospel. Because the gospel is where the power is. You see how important it is? That's why you always want to get it in. And the more you do it, you may seem a little forced at first, but hey, that's okay. But the more you do it, the more natural it'll come. So let's take this in the next couple of minutes, write out how you receive Jesus Christ into your life. Even if you're not quite through, I want you to stop. Look up at me. Let's talk about number 3 there on page 3. My life since Jesus came in. I was riding down the road that day, crying, praying, smoking. And when I got through saying that prayer and Jesus Christ came into my life, I threw that cigarette out the window and I went from a 3-pack-a-day smoker to never wanting another cigarette. Never had a craving. It was miraculous. If you've ever been a smoker, you know that. I never took another drink. I've wanted to drink many times. Never have. I wish I could say I've never cussed again. But my goodness, since I've been saved, I've had words come out and say, Lord, excuse me, Lord, yeah, Lord, where did that come from? That's not the way I want to talk. I haven't ever told dirty jokes again. Other issues like anger and things like that. It's been a process. And I went home and told my wife. We went to church that night. I told the church. I went to work the next day. I told my coworkers. I went to the volunteer fireman where I was a volunteer fireman. I told the volunteer fireman. I used to be a real troublemaker in a church. I was the thorn in the flesh of the pastor. I was an unsaved church member. I was ungodly. I was lost. And I've come to know the Lord, attend another church, and I went back to that church and asked that pastor to forgive me and ask him if I go in front of the whole church. The first sermon I ever preached, when I asked the pastor, could I go in front of the whole church, he said, well, why don't you just take the Sunday night service and do that? And so I brought my first message. By this, all men will know you, my disciples, that you have love one for another. And through that, God called me to preach. I quit my job. I went back to school. I've been preaching for almost 30 years now. And it's been some wonderfully great times and some awfully hard times. I mean, I wish I could tell you everything's perfect. It didn't. Been through rebellious children. I made mistakes. But boy, praise God, He's always been faithful. And I lay my head down at night. I don't have to have that fear or lack of contentment anymore. I have peace because I know things are right with me and God. That's my life since Jesus came in. You take 2 minutes and just write out your life since Jesus came in. They're on page 3. All righty. Even if you're not quite through, I want you to stop. Now, let me tell you what I want us to do now. I want to ask a couple of folks to stand up and read what you wrote on that page. Now, I don't want you to ad-lib because you'll be thinking, oh, I needed to put that in, or no, or that's not right. Nope. Just want you to read what you wrote, and I want to ask a couple of folks to stand up who have never in your life ever stood up in church and said a word before. Who'd like to be first? Well, here we are. Thank you. Would you kind of come up here where we can get a camera shot on you? What's your name?
Elaine.
Elaine, you've never stood up in church and shared before?
No.
Okay, just read for us, Elaine.
My life before I met Jesus was careless, recklessness. I thought I was content with just living for myself and thought very little of God. And most of the time when I did think of Him, it was doubting Him. Mm-hmm. And how I came to accept Jesus in my life, I was tired of being alone and wanted a fresh start with my life. And though I fell, I've came back to Him. And if not for me, for my child, and because she has her whole life ahead of her, I want to introduce her to God, and through her, I will know Him. And as long as my faith is there, I will know Him. In my life since Jesus has came in, it's been a roller coaster ride, and I still find myself wanting to doubt because of all the sin in the world. But God knows my heart and has kept me assured that He will love me regardless. And knowing that my life has been like no other time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. Praise the Lord. It's always good to say thank you, Lord, for working in people's lives. Absolutely. Someone else has never stood up in church before. Just want you to read. Remember, if you're nervous and scared, that doesn't mean you're weird or bad or weak. It just means you're normal. Okay. Yes, ma'am. And what's your name?
I'm Hannah. Pardon?
Hannah, have you ever stood up in church and said anything before?
No.
Okay, just read there for us, Hannah.
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and my father was a pastor, and we went to church together as a family. I knew a lot about Jesus. I had heard a lot of Bible stories, but Jesus wasn't real to me. I was very focused on myself, trying to fit in with other people, and I often felt empty and alone. I went through the motions of being religious, but I felt very unsatisfied with it. One night, I was 20 years old, and I was actually serving as a counselor at a summer camp for youth. And while the speaker was talking, I finally realized that I needed Jesus to forgive me for my sins. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead, and that He was willing to make that sacrifice because He loved me. And I went back to the dorm room where I was staying and prayed. And that's when Jesus came into my life. And Jesus has given me a purpose. He gives me peace and joy when I'm stressed out at work or just struggling with finances when I'm tired. And my life isn't perfect, and I still feel insecure and alone at times. But I know that Jesus will always be with me.
Thank you so much, Hannah, for sharing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. I would really love to hear a few more stories because I tell you, it blesses me when we take that first bold step of sharing. But there's some other things that I want to teach you. I want you to turn the page. Thank you, ladies. Turn to page 4. Notice openings to share your testimony. Now, you see, this week and tomorrow, you can go up to somebody, Daryl, would you do me a favor? I'm in this thing at church about learning how to share, how I became a Christian. And I made a commitment to share with one person today. Would you do me a favor and listen to this? But next week, you can't say that and tell the truth. So, how do you get into it? How do we get started? Well, got several ways. Number one, listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Listen for people sharing experiences like yours. By that, I mean this. You hear someone talking about divorce, aging parents, rebellious children, losing their job, then that's a natural segue if you've had an experience like that. I was teaching in Athens, Tennessee a few weeks ago, and at the place I was staying, I noticed this guy with a Texas Longhorn cap. You know, they're almost the color of volunteer caps, but they got those horns on them. So I noticed it, and I kept seeing him outside smoking outside the lobby. And about the second day, I said, "Department, are you really a Longhorn fan?" He said, "Yeah, I am. I was born in Texas and so on." We talked a little bit. The next day, I saw him out there again. And, you know, I'm teaching folks about witnessing, so I get real convicted a whole lot about, well, you know, I run into him twice here. I guess, Lord, you want me to talk to this guy. So we began to talk a little bit. I said, "You travel a lot?" "Yeah, I'm up here on business." And he told me about it. I said, "Well, you have a family?" He said, no, I was dating this girl. And man, I tell you, I thought she's a queen. And then we got married. She turned into a witch. It's terrible. It lasted about just 6 months, a year. Man, we were divorced. I said, "Well, I tell you, I know about marital problems. There's a time in my life when my wife and I were separated. And I can tell you the truth. I think if it had not been for me coming to faith in Christ." By that, I don't mean I joined a church or became religious or moral or anything. I mean, I came to realize when Jesus died on the cross, he really, you know, that was a real thing. And he died for my sins. But he didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. And there was a time when I asked him to come in my life, riding down the highway one afternoon. I think if Jesus would not have come into my life and given me help in my marriage, I'd probably be divorced today too. And we ended up talking more and more and more. So can you identify, if you want to be all ears, does that mean you're going to be able to identify with every experience you hear? No. But many times, if you're listening, you know, losing a job, something like that, you can relate. Number two, listen for people sharing emotions like yours. Emotions like yours. Depression, fear, loneliness, insecurity, hurt, anger. You are talking with someone and they start talking about being lonely. You can say, "Oh man, I know." If it's an emotion that you've experienced, you can say, "I know what it's like to be lonely. Man, I was in the middle of a college campus and be with folks every day and do all these things. But I'd go back to my dorm room, and even though there were other people around, it was like I felt so alone." I tell you, I am glad there came a time when I realized, and you go into the gospel, and you say, "You know, more than what Jesus said, he'd never leave me for something." Sometimes I still kind of feel lonely. But I realize that's really not a true emotion because Jesus is always with me. Number three, listen, look for opportunities in current events. Terrorism, unfairness, tragedies. I was teaching a seminar in Texas when that mother who murdered her five children got granted a new trial, and everybody was, man, everywhere you went, everybody's talking about it. And it was so easy to say, "Oh, I'm telling you, it really torques you off when you see things that are just so unfair." Well, I tell you, I am so glad there's coming a day when there's going to be a judgment, and everybody guilty is going to be found guilty. And everybody innocent is going to be declared innocent. I'm so glad that I tell you, if it's up to me on my own, I'd be declared guilty. But I'm so glad there's a time in my life when I realized this stuff about Jesus dying on the cross and paying for sins and and God forgiven people when they trust Jesus and proven it's true. He raised Jesus from the dead. I'm glad there's a time I realized that was true and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I'm glad I'm going to be able to stand before the judge, not because I'm such a good person, but because Jesus declared me clean and he forgave me. You say, Dennis, it sounds to me like you're just wanting us to go around all day just looking for opportunities to share the gospel in everything we do. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, yes, that's exactly right. We are, you see. Now, does that mean you'll get to share with everybody? No. Does it mean you get to share with most people? No. But you get to share with a whole lot more than you ever dreamed. Number four, make leading statements. Make leading statements. Now, here's what I mean by that. This is a raise your hand response, okay? How many of y'all have ever gone out some beautiful morning like this morning and said, oh, isn't this a beautiful day? If you've ever said something like that, raise your hand, okay? All right? Don't ever say that again. Never say that again. Say this. Oh, isn't this a beautiful day the Lord's given us today? Because it is the Lord that's given us today, isn't it? See, and I'm just looking to flavor conversations. I'm not trying to be pseudo-spiritual. I'm not trying to be religious. I'm trying to just have God a part of everything I do all day long, all the time. See, and looking for every opportunity to share it. Now, here's something somebody pointed out to me after I taught this one time. They said, here's number five. It's not in your book there, but you can write it down. Somebody was at one of the conferences told me this. They said, by the way, what is your name, sir? What's your name?
Ed.
You can go up to Ed you work with next week or Ed at school and say, Ed, would you do me a favor? We had this guy in our church a few weeks ago, and he was exhorting us to try to share our story of what God's done in our life at least once a week. And I made a commitment to do that. Would you do me a favor and listen to this, please? You know, I mean, if you really struggle with it, hey, you could even do that. So you just want to have the conscious thought with everybody you meet. Everybody you see at school, you don't want to think, whoa, look at that outfit. You don't want to think, ooh, bad hair day. You want to be thinking, here's a person that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And Lord, as much as possible, I want to help point them to heaven. I want to help point them to Jesus. Now, does that mean you get to talk to everybody about him? Nope. Does it mean you get to talk to most? Nope. But I'm telling you, if I start out the day with that attitude, it's amazing how many times God gives me opportunities to share the gospel. Now, let me tell you why I'm talking about listening for people sharing experiences like yours and listening for people sharing emotions like yours and listening or looking for opportunities in current events. Here's why I'm doing that, folks. Most of the people you're going to see at the store tomorrow, most of the people you're going to run into at work tomorrow, most of the people you're going to see in restaurants or at the club or wherever you go tomorrow, the overwhelming majority of them aren't given the least bit of thought to whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. They're not thinking about whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. You know what they're thinking about? How am I going to make it this week? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pass this course? What's my children? What am I going to do? My mama's sick. What am I going to do? People are consumed with the things of life, you see. So we just want to be all ears, looking for every opportunity to get in with them where they are. You remember, I love the story. You remember the story of Jesus with the woman at the well in John 4? Has that been one of your sermons, Pastor? Is that one of them that you're preaching on? Yeah, I love that series you're doing. I really do. I'm going to try to borrow some of those with his permission, of course. Jesus comes up this woman at the well. Now notice where he started. She came up to the well. Now, she's been married five times. She's living in adultery now. And he knows that. But where did he start out? Did he say anything about her sinful life or you need to get saved or the Messiah? No. Why was she at the well? She wanted water. And he started where she was in her life today. Mentioned he needs some water. So he says, hey, give me a drink of water. And that started a conversation. And through the conversation, he shifted it to living water. Then he shifted it to the Messiah. Then he shifted it to her need of being forgiven, you see. So that's what I'm talking about when we're looking at experiences and emotions and events. We're just trying to find a place to strike a chord with folks. Then we can segue to talking to them about Jesus. Now, turn the page. Notice, I want to give you three tips on witnessing. Tip number one, it is different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. It's different sharing your testimony in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. If I'm going to see somebody one time, and I know that's one time, I don't want to be pushy, and I don't get to do it all the time, but I try to dump the whole load. I try to just give them all I got that I can in this situation. But if it's somebody you work with, if it's somebody you go to school with, you're probably better off not to go dump the whole load tomorrow. In fact, I want to encourage a lot of you. You're here because in your heart, you really want to share Jesus with others. Praise God you're here. I mean, that just tells me you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to share. And so what you can do, you've been working with somebody 10 years, you've been going to school with them for a long period of time, but you've never talked to them about Jesus. This week gives you a fresh start. You know, here's how it works. My broken leg friend, what was your name?
Seth.
He gets to start walking tomorrow? Tomorrow without his crutches. I'm so glad, Seth. So Seth's been going to school with folks, but he's never talked to them about the Lord. He's played ball with them. He's been around them. He loves God. He's basically been living a good Christian life, but he's never talked to them about the Lord. You have a great opportunity to go up to a friend tomorrow. What's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan, would you claim to be his friend? Oh, don't answer that. Okay, we're going to assume Jordan's his friend. Seth's been living for God, but he's never been talked to Jordan about the gospel, and the Lord's speaking to him about it. You got a great opportunity to go tomorrow and say, Jordan, ma'am, would you do me a favor? I need to ask you to forgive me for something. Forgive you for something? What are you talking about? Well, you very well may know I'm a Christian. I mean, I know Jesus Christ, not religious or going to church. I mean, I personally trusted his death for my sins and believed God raised him from the dead. And we got this guy at church been talking about how important it is to share with other folks. And I've been around. I've been playing sports with you. I've been going to school with you for years. And I just realized, I have never talked to you about God's love and about what he's done for me. Would you forgive me for that? Oh, man, I don't need to forgive you that. No, really, I appreciate it. Now, I've got a fresh start. Next week, next month, maybe tomorrow, but not necessarily tomorrow, when the opportunity comes up, now you got a clean slate. He can say something to Jordan about the Lord. Let's say you've been working with someone and you haven't been living for God. I mean, you're a Christian, but the folks at work wouldn't know it. Tell me your name again.
Robert.
Robert. So I've been working with Robert, but I cuss like Robert does. I tell the same dirty jokes Robert does. I go to the same places Robert does. So now I go to work tomorrow. And I say, Robert, man, I need to ask you to forgive me for something. Blankety blank, what the blank you talking about, man? Well, Robert, I know you probably would never dream this, but reality is, I'm a Christian. By that, I don't mean I joined a church or something. I mean, there's a time when Jesus Christ really came into my life and changed me. All that stuff about his dying on a cross and rising again, it's true, and I realized it. And he's really in my life, but I sure haven't been living for him. We've been having this thing at church, and this guy's been talking to us about sharing what God's done for us, and he's done so much, and I feel terrible because I ain't talked to you about what he's done for me. I ain't even been living like a Christian. And I just want to ask you to forgive me for that. Forgive you, blank, what the blank you talking about? No, I'm just telling you, really, it'd make me feel a lot better if you do that. Well, blank, I'm like, see. I'm just trying to be real, folks. This is kind of conversations you've been having where you go. You're like, it may be different, but you can relate with your environment. But you haven't been living. They wouldn't know you're Christian. You got a clean slate. Now, tomorrow, you don't go in and dump the whole load. First opportunity, you don't just give your story. No, But next week, maybe a little tidbit. The next week, you get a good opportunity, you see. So just remember, it's different sharing your story in one-time meetings. I travel a lot. I don't always do it. You know, I don't always do everything I'm telling you. I try to, but we all mess up sometime. None of us are going to get it right all the time. But we want to have a lifestyle of doing it, a mindset and a culture of evangelism. But it's different one-time meetings, regular friends and acquaintances. Tip number two, expect mixed results. Expect mixed results. Paul was preaching in Athens, and he preached, and read with me Acts 17, verse 32 to 34. Let's read it there on the screen. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again." A few men believed. Notice, some rejected. Some said, "I want to hear a little more." Some said, "That I want Jesus. I want that in my life." Now, by the way, incidentally, notice what it was that brought about that response. When they heard about the what? The resurrection. You see, that's why we always in the gospel, we always talk about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number three, by the way, let me just tell you, you remember me telling you about the story of that police officer that when I shared my story, I shared it Sunday night. Jason asked me to officiate their wedding, and I shared my story in my living room, and he got saved. Not too many months after, another police officer came to me, Steve. Said, "Chaplain, my wife, fiance, and I get married. We'd like for you to officiate the wedding." I said, "I'm honored. I'd love to do it. Honored you to ask. I have this premarital counseling session set up we go through. And assuming everything turns out good there, I'd be honored to do your wedding." And so we set it up. They would come to the church office. And they came in, had a seat across the desk. I said, "Well, Steve, since you're wanting a minister of the gospel, a chaplain to marry you, obviously you're interested in a Christian wedding. Are you a Christian?" "No." "So, okay." I turned to his fiance and I said, "Are you a Christian?" "No." Well, I proceeded to share my story. I mean, I had about a half hour of time to do it. I gave them over the next 10 weeks assignments of Christian books to read. I gave them tracts. I shared the gospel every way I knew how, and at the end of the 10 weeks, neither one of them expressed any interest at all in trusting Jesus. Now, what I want you to understand is I was just as successful with them as I was with Jason and Danielle. Now, I got more joy. It's wonderful. We want folks saved, but you and I can't save anybody. So just expect mixed results. It's not about results. It's about being faithful, sharing the gospel. Three, remember, inviting people to church is good, but it is not going. Notice Matthew 28, 19. Notice what it does not say. "Therefore go and invite people to church." It doesn't say that, does it? It says, "Therefore go and make disciples." Now, this is a happening church. There is life in this church. My wife and I talked about, by the way, more people, Pastor, greeted us and said hello to us on Sunday morning than any church I remember being in. It's the friendliest place that I think it's safe to say we remember being in. It's wonderful. There's friendliness, there's life, there's worship, their pastor's a wonderful Bible teacher. So are people going to come to church? They're seeking, God's working on? Yes. Are people going to get saved? Yes. But reality is, inviting people to church, you know, you have event evangelism and all these things, man, do it, don't get me wrong, but understand that's a method. The principle is sharing the gospel. The principle is making Jesus known. That happens to be a method, you see. And the fact is, remember, church primarily is for saved folks. Man, when I was lost, I didn't want to go to church on Sunday morning. I wanted to sleep late, drink coffee, read the paper, play golf, go to the lake. And so try, invite people to church, but remember, inviting's good, but is not going. All right? Stand to your feet, if you would. Just stand, get a little stretch. I said that one time, by the way, and somebody said, "Well, where else are you going to stand, Dennis, unless you stand to your feet?" And I felt real convicted until I read, and I can't remember what chapter in the Bible, where it says the people stood to their feet. And then I felt much better about it. I'm really going to look up. It really is in the Bible. But they stood to their feet. So, you've had a long, hard day. Just stretch a little bit. We're down in the short rows. I want to teach you two other ways real quick. If you'd have a seat. Number two, page six. Not only can you witness with your testimony, you can witness with your thanksgiving. With your thanksgiving. Now, here's what I mean by that. In the early church, almost all the early believers, but even as the church went on, many of the believers were Jews. And they had all these rules about what you could eat and not eat. And so, now I'm a Christian, and some folks are eating this, and I'm thinking, whoa, you can't eat that. And they would get into fusses over what you could eat. So, Paul wrote to Timothy while he's pastor at Church of Ephesus, and he said this in 1 Timothy 4:4. Let's read it together aloud. Would you read it with me? For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. See, there's the principle. You can eat spiritually, ceremonially. You can eat anything you can give thanks for. That's why I am not allowed to eat liver. People say, Dennis, would you care for some liver? I say, I'm sorry, the Bible will not allow me to eat it. I'm telling you, I cannot give thanks for liver. I cannot give thanks for liver. So therefore, I'm not allowed to eat it. You bet you can eat anything. Nothing's to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. So, therefore, since whenever I eat, I'm going to give thanks, I want to use it as an opportunity to be as much of a witness as I can. So notice, pray if you are alone. You know, you're out at Wendy's, you zip in Subway, you grab something, and you're on a quick lunch, you're by yourself, and you sit down. Don't just sit down and you got your food in front of you. Don't just say, thank you, Lord. Don't do that. Don't do it. You're by yourself. Stop, bow your head, close your eyes, and give thanks for your food. Now, Jesus was very hard on the Pharisees who prayed for show. He said they loved to pray to be seen. So we don't want to pray to be seen. We don't want to be a Pharisee or hypocrite. So a lot of times when I'm like that in public, I will bow my head and I'll close my eyes and I'll say, God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. But Lord, I sure don't want to be ashamed of you either. And I am thankful for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I taught that principle in this Every Believer Witness for 2 years. This past spring, I was teaching it at Belmont Baptist Church in Calhoun, Georgia. And after I taught it, a guy by the name of Tommy Smith came up to me. He said, Dennis, let me tell you what happened to me. He said, I was over in a restaurant, I believe it was a Taco Bell. And he said, I went up to the counter after I'd eaten, I bowed my head and prayed. I went up to the counter to get a refill. And he says, the guy behind the counter handed me a sheet of paper, a little note folded over. He says, that girl back there wants you to have this. He says, well, I'm married. I don't know whether I want to take this or not. But he took it. And he opened it up, and it said, Dear sir, I noticed that you were praying over your food. My husband and I are having terrible marital problems. Would you pray for us? And he asked the guy, may I speak to her? And he said, yes. And he met her, and he got marital counseling for her and her husband. And today, they're faithfully serving Jesus in a church in Calhoun, Georgia. Now, I've never had that happen to me, folks, when I prayed in public. But I just throw it out. We don't know what's going to happen. So you're by yourself, man, at McDonald's somewhere. Don't hesitate. You're by yourself wherever you are. Bow your head and pray. If you're out with other Christians or if you're by yourself and you have a server, notice the next one. Ask to pray for your server. If there's a place where you've got a server that's delivering your food, then you want to say this. In fact, I don't have it on the screen. I apologize, but I want to encourage you to write this down. You'll like this. Write this down. You can change it and tweak it to suit you, but this is good. You get their name, you know, whatever it is, Tom, Bill, Mary. Mary, we always give thanks for our food. Or if you're by yourself, I always give thanks for my food. Is there anything going on in your life? Is there anything going on in your life? And then you throw out a few categories, and I always will say family, health. If they're a young person, I'll say school. Many times I'll say work, but I always say family and health. Mary, we always give thanks for our food. Is there anything going on in your life, family, health, school, we could pray about for you? That we could pray about for you. I don't say that we could pray for you about. See, I'm trying to not let it be like they got a problem when they're messed up. Is there anything going on in your life, family, health, school, that we could pray about for you? Now, if you do that, about 50% of the time, they'll think for a moment. See, and it takes a lot of them aback. That's why I always throw out a few categories, help them stir their mind. About half the time, they'll say, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. So that's good. I rejoice with you. But about 2 or 3 or 4 times out of 10, they'll say, yes, 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 yes. My dad's having heart bypass surgery in a week, or I've got a big exam coming up next week at school, and I'd appreciate you praying for that. And then about 1 time out of 10, God will do amazing things, folks. I've had waitresses, when I've asked that, break down and say, yes, my little boy's in the hospital and I need to be with him, but I've got to work to pay the bills. Please pray. I've had that happen. I've had them break out crying over other things. Saturday, my wife and I came to town. And we went to eat at a restaurant here in town. I'll just tell you, it was the Peerless. We went to eat at Peerless. And our server, her name was Heather, came. When our food came, I said, Heather, we always give thanks for our food. Is there anything going on in your life that we could pray about for you? And she almost immediately teared up. And she said, yes. She said, my best friend who works here, Tammy, she was 35, died suddenly in her sleep the other week. And we're all in kind of shock around here. And it hurts. I said, boy, we'll pray. We'll pray for about that, Heather. So we prayed. We're eating our food. In a few minutes, the manager of the restaurant comes around us and said, folks, Heather told me that you asked to pray. If you could, anything you could pray about. And she told you about Tammy, but there's a lot of other stuff she didn't tell you about. And she proceeded to tell us about another death. One of their servers in an accident with a broken back, and another server in an accident and paralyzed. It all happened like the last 6 weeks. And I said, man, I'm really going to pray. I'm really going to pray about that. And she kind of sounded a little bit like she knew the Lord. So I said, Lori, you go to church anywhere? She said, yes, I go to Grace Baptist Church. I said, she said, we don't join there. We've just been visiting there. I said, you going to church in the morning? She said, yes. I said, well, I'll be the preacher over there in the morning. You'll see me. She said, well, I'll be there. And the next morning, this Sunday morning, folks, in walks Lori and her husband and Heather. They had 11 people from their restaurant in your service Sunday morning. I heard the gospel, and we went back last night to eat there, and they said they're coming back this Sunday. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, see, you don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to have some special gift. All you have to do is just love people. Just say, hey, we always give thanks for our food. Anything going on in your life, family, health, school, we could pray about for you. And God, you'll be so blessed. You'll be blessed. I have people come up to me and get in touch with me after seminars, conferences, revivals, time and time again, telling what God's done when they ask their server if they could pray for them. So you do that if you're at the table with people that you know at your table are Christians. But then you can also ask to pray for the others at your table if you're eating with people that you don't know are Christians or not. You're at a business luncheon. You're on a sales call. You're at a school board meeting. You're at whatever kind of function you are. You're at the cafeteria at school. And you don't know that everybody there is a Christian. Then here's what you want to say. I encourage you to write this down. This is good, folks. I always give thanks for my food. I always give thanks for my food. And here's the phrase. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. I always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. Now, I encourage you, you know, God will show you, this is not the way it must be done. I've just found terminology that seems to work real well. And so I encourage you to do it. I told you I was a police chaplain. I've been out on police calls when guys would be in a fight, some guy would be high on drugs or something, demonic possessed, it'd take five or six of them, it'd be a fight, there'd be blood, mess, everything. We'd finally get that guy to jail, and we'd go out to eat, and they'd be sitting around, and cops generally fall into two categories. They're either real godly guys or they're reprobates. There ain't many in the middle of the road because the pressures of the job is so great, they're going to turn to something, either Jesus or something else. So, and most of them are reprobates, not all, but most. So, I know a lot of godly cops, but we were here, and these guys are saying, yeah, they're so blunt, and they're just carrying on, and our food comes. I say, guys, always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. Yes, sir. Bow their head, pray. I like to play golf. I'm not as good a golfer as your pastor. But when I was pastoring, I liked to play golf, but golf takes a lot of time, and so one thing I decided to try to do was play golf with lost guys. I had some guys, one guy that owned a liquor store that visited a church one Sunday. Somebody told me, said, did you see who was here Sunday? That guy owns a liquor store. So that week, I went down to the liquor store to see him. Went walking in the liquor store and asked for him. He was there. Found out him and another guy were partners. Talked a little bit. Found out they played golf. So I said, well, hey, we need to play golf together sometime. They said, that'd be good, preacher. Not too long went by, they called me to play golf. Well, we'd go out to play golf, and they would have a fourth. And this is not true of everybody owns a liquor store. It wasn't always true of them, but some of the folks they were with and others sometimes. If you play guys that run liquor stores, many times when they get started, they'll start, you know, just go out the first hole, and it's go, 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 go. And they gamble, and they cuss, and they growl, and they get mad. So we're playing golf, you know, and one guy's getting soused, and they're gambling and, you know, cussing, all kind of stuff. And we get to the turn, and we're sitting in our carts, and we get hot dogs from a grill. We come out, we're sitting in our carts. And I say, guys, I always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. I never had a drunk say, no, pray for me, preacher. Never. I have been on sales calls back and when I was going to school, I've been on sales calls with Jews, and I think with atheists. I've never had a Jew or an atheist say, no, don't pray for me. Now, if they did, I'd just say, oh, okay, no problem. I'd bow my head and pray. But to this date, I've never, ever. That's why I'd say that's a good phrase. I always give thanks for my food. If you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. And the inference is in my voice, well, of course you're going to want me to. Now, when I say, if you'd like, I'll just pray for us, they haven't just said it's okay. They said, we want you to do it. We would like for you to do it. So when they do that and you begin to pray, do not pray this way. Do not pray, God, I'm here with a bunch of lost, drunk heathens. They're going to bust hell wide open, Lord. They're going to fry like crispy critters. They need Jesus, Lord. Save them. Here's a 3-sentence prayer I encourage you to write down. 3 sentences I encourage you to write down. They've said, I say, if you'd like, I'll just pray for all of us. You can say God or Father, whichever way you want to. Thank you for this food. Because that's what you're giving thanks for. I always give thanks for my food. So you say, Father, thank you for this food. 2nd sentence, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. 3rd sentence, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm sure I've slipped up at some point and said, ended a prayer saying, these things we ask in your name. I encourage you not to do that. In this pluralistic society, who's your? Is it Buddha? Is it Allah? No, it's in Jesus' name. Now, you say, well, now, Dennis, that's not really witnessing. Nope. Not in the sense of sharing the gospel. But it is taking advantage of what window of opportunity I have in this public setting to let folks know as much as I can about God's love, and I'm a follower of Jesus. You see? Now, and I tell you, I couldn't even begin to tell you all the conversations. After I pray that way, I don't strike up a conversation. But it's unbelievable. The majority of the times, one of them will say something. They'll bring up something about church, God, Jesus. Opens up all kinds of doors. Now, there's one last thing down at the bottom of page 6. P.S. Tip well. Tip well. See, if you're going to run up a $50 bill and leave $3 or $4, just tell them you're Mormon or something. You know, don't tell them. Don't tell them you're following Jesus, okay? Number 3. Page 7. You can witness with your tracts. You can witness with your tracts. Now, by that I mean little printed gospel publications. And the principle here is that found in 1 Corinthians 9:22, where Paul said this. Let's read it together aloud. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Now, we know from all his other writings, he didn't mean that he could save them, but he meant that he would have a part in their salvation. And so when you're using tracts, there are two big methods. A is the shotgun approach. Now, I'm not much of a hunter, but I'm a lot better with a shotgun than a rifle. It's got a shell with a whole bunch of pellets in it, and you fire, and that pattern spreads out. And so many times, I've been aiming at that bird and hit that bird. You know, I mean, just get them. I like hunting with a shotgun. So if you're hunting with a shotgun, you can do what I call, or use what I call, your personal favorite. Here is a very wonderful track. By the way, how many of y'all here have a cat or a dog or a pet at home? Let me see your hand. Look around. How many of you have a pet? At least probably half. Here is, right over here. Who had their hands up over here? Who had a, okay, this young lady did. Here is one of the best tracks I know. Will my pet go to heaven? Will my pet go to heaven? Now, if you like this track, and you're going to use this track, you don't pass them out this way. You don't say, here, take this. You don't want to say, want one of these? Here's what you do. You hold it where they can see the picture, okay? You hold it where they can see the picture, and you say, did you get one of these? Now, notice, she reached out to take it. That's what they'll do. Now, when you do this out in public with many people who are lost, by the way, you know what they'll do? They'll say thank you. Now, she didn't say thank you when I gave it to her, but most people will do that, you know? You'll give them, they'll say thank you. She didn't say it, but that's quite all right. She's probably nervous, me right there in front of her. So, you know, if you don't like animals, you wouldn't want to be using Will My Pet Go to Heaven? But it's really a wonderful, wonderful track to use today. It's really very popular. However, I came across what I call the which one method. And let me tell you how I came across the which one method. I was living in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And my beautiful wife, Jane, sitting right back here, early in July, said, honey, let's go to the 4th of July fireworks at Stone Mountain Park. Well, now, only a woman could want to go to the 4th of July fireworks at Stone Mountain Park because there are 80,000 people and there are only 2 lanes to get in and out. Yep. I'm telling you, if you go there, your hour's getting out. I despise to go. But I'm learning a lot about being a loving husband. So I said, certainly, dear, we will go. But let's go real early to get a good seat because on top of that, it's really crowded. So we went hour and a half early. We still got like the last 2 seats scrunched at the back. Place to have a seat. Well, I had at that time been able to get from Ray Comfort, Living Waters Ministries, 3 tracks on 3 different people: Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Jordan, and Elvis Presley. They're the best ones I ever had. Can't get them anymore. Michael's lawyer threatened a suit and they quit printing them. Can't get them. But I had them, and so I took a stack about this high. One of our daughters went with us. They got seated. So I left part of the stack with Jane, and I took the other stack. And I went walking up to a couple right there nearby. And so I got them spread out. And I went over to this couple and I said, pardon me, who's your favorite, Arnold, Michael, or Elvis? And they said, we don't like any of them. And I said, that's fine. And as soon as they did, there was another lady over here. And she said, what do you have? I said, who's your favorite, Arnold, Michael, or Elvis? She said, Arnold. And I gave it to her. And you know what she said? Thank you. Yes, she did. She said, thank you. And in a minute, God is my witness, I had people lined up 10 and 12 deep to get a gospel tract. Never had people stand in line to get a gospel tract. And when I ran out, I went back over and told my wife, if I'm lying, I'm dying here, folks. God's my witness. When I ran out of gospel tracts, people got mad. People got mad at me. Never had it happen in my life. Well, I couldn't get them anymore. So we came up with some other tracks. Are you a sports fan? Who here is a sports fan? Who here is a sports fan? Okay, I've already picked on you one time about you cussing and stuff, so I'll come back over to this one. What's your favorite sport? Football, NASCAR, or golf?
Football.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome, okay? So you say, well, Dennis, that's all very good, but I really don't care much about sports. Well, let me ask you this. What's your favorite TV show? American Idol, Survivor, or CSI? CSI, there you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I'm telling you, is everybody going to do this? No, my wife has never done this. She'd die before she'd do it. It's a little more personality driven. I just want you to understand that. But if you're kind of outgoing at all, you'll have a ball doing this. I'm telling you, you will have a blast doing it. It's great for public settings, a lot of places, you know, with a lot of people. But you can go up to someone at school tomorrow. You can go up to someone at work tomorrow. Let me borrow that again just a moment. I'll get right back.
Thank you.
I didn't give you anything yet. Boy, I got I'm pretty nervous around here. Thank you for letting me pick on you, by the way. You can go up to a friend at school tomorrow and say, or work, guess what I saw at church last night? You ain't going to believe it. What's your favorite sport? Football, NASCAR, or golf? And if they say one of them, you give it to them. See, what are we talking about? We're just looking for every, by all possible means, to get the gospel out as much as we can. That's the shotgun approach. There is also what I call, by the way, I want to tell you something before I go on. When I was pastoring in Snellville, Georgia, we were doing this. And just like on the back of all these tracts, you have your church label. We had our church label. It says, you know, if you've trusted Christ, let us know. And we had our church label on here. And one day in the mail at our church, I opened it up, or secretary opened it and brought it to us. There was a NASCAR track. And on the back, it said, yes, I've trusted in Jesus. Help me, you know, send me information. And it was written out. The name was Mary Dozier in Portage, Michigan. How did that track get from Snellville, Georgia to Portage, Michigan? I have no earthly idea. Who gave it out? I don't know. But somebody gave out a NASCAR track in our church in Snellville, Georgia, and a lady in Portage, Michigan read it and trusted the Lord. See, what are we talking about? All possible means. Then there are some specific ways you can use tracts. I call it B, the rifle approach. That's where there's a target and you're aiming specifically at one person. There are many different kinds of tracts you can use. The best I've ever seen in my life is called Steps to Peace with God. The reason I like it is because it's written by Billy Graham. And most people today will know who Billy Graham is. It'll blow you away how many people won't. And so the way you use this is maybe you've shared your testimony. There's a lot of umpteen ways. Maybe you've left your generous tip for the server. There are all kind of things you can do. But you're talking to someone, and a great way to start is to say, you ever heard of Billy Graham? And it'll blow you away. Every now and then people say no. You say, oh, he's a famous preacher. But if they say yes, you say, he wrote a little booklet entitled Steps to Peace with God. And the reason I like it so much is because he put the scriptures right in it. So it's not what he thinks or I think, but it's what does the Bible say. And then at the end, he actually tells you how you can make a decision to have peace with God. Now, I'd love to give this to you. I won't be the least bit offended. I really won't. If you don't want it, but if you'd like it, I'd love to give this to you. And most, I've only probably had two or three people ever reject taking that. Now, let me show you a couple little things as you do more on it. If I've been talking to this person about how to know for sure your sins are forgiven, how to know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, then what I'd say is, you ever heard of Billy Graham? He wrote a little booklet entitled Steps to Peace with God. Now, he could have entitled it How to Know for Sure You're Going to Go to Heaven When You Die, but he called it Steps to Peace with God. Basically the same thing. And the reason I like it so much is because he puts the Bible verses right in it. See, I'm holding it where they can see it. He put the Bible verses right in it. And then at the back, he actually tells you how you can make a decision to know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. And I'd love to give this to you. I won't be the least bit offended. And I say this all the time because I don't want to be pushy with people. You know, man, if they don't want it, I'm not going to try to make them take it. It's not about being crude and pushy. This is about taking every opportunity I can to share the gospel all I can. I won't be offended, but if you like, I'd love to give this to you. Then another thing you can do is, if you have the time, if you're in a situation where you can, you can lead someone to faith in Christ right on the spot. I have read this booklet to people. If I know, and I know they're a pretty good reader, and I'm not worried about whether they can read or not, I'll say, have you got just a minute? I'd love for us to go through this together if you'd like. Would you like to do that? Sure. Now, if they say no, I say, oh, that's no problem. I'd love to give it to you. If they say, sure. I'll say, you know, notice God's purpose, peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. The Bible, well, there's really no need. You can read as good as I can. Why don't you read this rather than me read it? Just read that aloud if you would. If I have some concerns about whether they can read good or not, and I don't want to embarrass them, then I'll say, I'll just read it to them. You can actually, and there again, if you get real proficient, later on, you can ask questions, answer questions. But I've had people led to the Lord when there's never been a statement added to accept what's in here. Just read these. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, this is why I just encourage you to keep one in your pocket, by the way. Keep one in your pocket. Thank you. You're welcome. Keep one in your pocket at all times. I could hear again, only because I do these things. You know, I fail and make mistakes just as much as I succeed. But because I teach this, I do try to practice it and not be a hypocrite. So I could just give you story after story. But let me tell you one of my favorites. When I became police chaplain in Gwinnett County, the chief of police was a guy by the name of Bill Dean. And you remember I told you cops fall into one or two categories? Well, he was not in the godly category. And most people knew that. So I wanted to befriend him. I wanted to share the gospel. And so I invited him to go to lunch one day. Chief, I'd love to go to lunch with you. His big department had maybe 700-800 people in it. And so we went to lunch. And I just asked him questions about, you know, how long you've been a cop, so on, so on, so on. And then I'd ask him to go to lunch again 2 or 3 weeks later. We went to lunch about 4 weeks. I never said a word about God, Jesus, nothing. Just tell me about yourself, about this, about that. What's the most exciting thing ever had? All these kind of things. About the fourth time, we were riding down the road. I can still see it. Head to the restaurant. And I said, well, Bill, something. He says, you're always asking me about me. Tell me about you. So I had about 30 minutes. And I shared my testimony in great detail. Well, when we were heading back to the police department, instead of going to the police department, he pulled in to the parking lot of an industrial area right nearby, and we were talking. And he was pretty kind of amazed at what God had done in my life. And I could tell that he was. And so I pulled out of my pocket a Steps to Peace with God. I said, Chief, you ever heard of Billy Graham? Of course I heard of Billy Graham. I said, just asking. I was just asking. That's really the way it went. I said, just asking, Chief. I said, he wrote a little booklet entitled Steps to Peace with God. And I love it because he puts the Bible verses right in it. And in here it tells you how God changed my life and how God would do the same for you. Man, I don't want to push you in any way. I know you wouldn't handle it, and I don't want to. But if you'd like, Bill, I'd love to give you one of these. I won't be offended if you don't take it. I really won't. But if you'd like one, I'd like to give it to you. He said, sure. He took it. About 2 weeks later, either he called me one day or I called him. He said, well, Dennis, I did it. I said, you did what? He said, I did it. I said, what'd you do, Bill? He says, you know what I mean. I did it. I says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, yes, you do. He said, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I said, you did? He said, yes. He said, I took that little booklet home and I laid it down on the chair beside my easy chair where I watch TV. And every night I'd get it out and I'd read it. And he said, last Friday night, I went back into my bedroom and I got down on my knees beside my bed and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I had the pleasure of baptizing him in our church. Now, see, God wants to use all kind of ways. Here, I can just tell you so many. Other times, done all these things, to my knowledge, never been saved. See, it's not about results. It's about using all possible means so that men and women will hear the gospel. American Express has made a fortune saying with their card, don't leave home without it. Fooey on American Express. Don't leave home without a Steps to Peace with God. I love it. Fits in your pocket. It'll fit in your back pocket if you don't have a front pocket. When it get wrinkled, put another one in. Keep one in your purse. I keep them in the compartment in the middle of my car. Keep one with you at all times. They're wonderful. They're wonderful. So, page 8. What now? What now? Based on what we just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Remember, it's all about doing something. Y'all stop and look at me just for a moment. Y'all have been so wonderful. Hard week. I know it's hard to work all day and come. And I thank you so much. And I've had 2 or 3 people, even tonight, sweet, godly people, love the Lord, say, Dennis, I've really enjoyed this week. And when they've said that to me, one lady and one man, I said to them, have you shared your story? And they said, no. And I put my arm around them and I said, now just remember, it's not about learning more. It's about doing.